We are joined by a former NFL player. Played 7 years in the league. He is an NFL analyst. He is the host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. He is co-host of Home and Home. You can follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Good friend of the program. Ross, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm fantastic, man. I am basking in the glow of one of the best weekends of football we've ever had. I know there's a lot of topics to get to and some controversy, et cetera, but man, I mean, all four one-score games, two overtime games, three road teams win, including the biggest underdog. It was awesome.
Russ, you just set the table for me perfectly. All right, so you were in Philadelphia last night on the sideline for the Seahawks-Eagles. What did you make? Why don't we start right there? What did you make of Seattle and the way they showed up on the road and they handled their business?
Well, Russell Wilson is remarkable. And I said this for a while now, Jim, and I wrote about it in a column a couple weeks ago. I think he is basically the NFL prototype at this point, which is crazy when you consider that he was the outlier in the 2012 draft, and that's why he didn't go until the third round. But you look at everything he has done on and off the field since then, he's never missed a game. Some of the throws and plays he made last night, again, absolutely remarkable. The way he conducts himself, it's crazy. Now, look, I'm not saying it'd be a bad thing if he was 3 inches taller or whatever, but I just think he's the best quarterback in the NFL, and if I could only have one quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years, it's him. I mean, he is – I don't think they have a ton around him, Jim. I really don't. I think it's primarily him, and because of him, they have a chance in every game they play in.
We're talking to Ross Tucker. Ross, I don't disagree with any of that. I wonder if he were 3 inches taller, if he'd be that much better or not. I mean, based on the way he approaches it, his mentality, that chip on the shoulder, I'm not sure he would be, but I understand your point. Listen, you've been around this Eagles team all season long. They've been battling injuries like crazy, and it happened again, Ross, last night when Carson Wentz went out after that hit to the head. What went through your mind when you saw him heading to the locker room?
Well, it was weird because I was on the Seahawks sideline when he got hit. So I did not know he was hurt until he started walking into the locker room. And I saw that and I sprinted over there to find out what was going on. And then they had told me, you know, that he had kind of gotten up slow after the hit from Clowney. And I think I had two thoughts, Jim, you know, doing the preseason games for the Eagles and the Eagles pregame all year. You know, I know him pretty well. I really felt bad for him. I mean, the whole conversation all offseason was whether or not he could stay healthy. And he did it all year, played his best football over the last month of the season, was able to bring what I was calling the practice squad posse or the Broad Street backups all the way to the playoffs. It was remarkable. And I wanted him to have this opportunity. I wanted him to show what he could do on that stage and not get hurt again and have that narrative of him getting hurt. So I felt really poorly for him, but I also kind of felt like we all got cheated. You know, Jim, like I left the game very dissatisfied, and the Seahawks might have won anyway. You never know how the game unfolds. I'm very confident the Eagles would have scored more points because Wentz was so good in the red zone all year that there's no way they settled for three field goals and on two fourth downs. They don't get it. They would have scored more points. And maybe the Seahawks maybe win, but I think we all kind of got gypped out of being able to see what Wentz and this team of practice squad guys could do in the playoffs. It left a bad taste in my mouth, and not necessarily because of the Clowney hit, as much as just not being able to see what Wentz was going to be able to get done.
Ross Tucker back in the jungle doing his thing. Hey, Ross, what about that hit? Jadeveon Clowney said after the game that he might get death threats for the hit on Wentz. Also said the people who come to Eagles games, Ross, are, quote, the worst fans in the world, end quote. What's your reaction to that comment?
Well, first of all, the hit itself, I thought it should have been penalized. I don't go so far as to say dirty or cheap shot. I mean, you know, Jim, we've talked about this before. I played on the edge. I played very borderline. So I'm the last guy that's going to be saying something was dirty or a cheap shot. But I do think it deserved to be flagged. I mean, even if you're saying he's a runner, they typically still afford quarterbacks more protection. I don't know how you don't throw a flag for that. But the point I would make on that is, okay, you throw the flag. I mean, it's not bringing Wentz back. It's not like it changes the game. Wentz staying in the game changes the game, but adding 15 yards to Clowney does not. As for the death threats thing, I mean, evidently he's already got him, so I guess he was right in that regard. As for the worst fans, it's really very simple. If you are someone that I would say is foolish enough to wear opposing team gear in Philadelphia, it's probably not going to be that pleasant of an experience. I mean, I'm from Reading, Jim, which is an hour west of Philly. I played at Veterans Stadium as a rookie with the Redskins. I told my mom, my dad, my sister, my girlfriend, and my father-in-law, don't even think about wearing Redskins gear. Like, don't be stupid. And they knew better because they're all from there too. You don't do that. Is that the way it should be, Jim? Probably not. It's probably not a positive that that's how they treat people. But it's a fact, so don't wear that stuff. And I'll say this on the flip side, they are the best fans. They are extremists. If you're on the other team or you don't play hard or whatever and you're on one of their teams, they're probably the worst fans around. If they love you, if you're Brian Dawkins, if you're Zach Ertz, heck, me even just doing the preseason games, if they love you, there is no better place to be. They are both the best and the worst fans, depending on whether or not they like you or not.
Ross Tucker joining us back in the jungle. All right, Ross, let me keep it right there in the division. During the Eagles game, the Cowboys announced they are moving on from Jason Garrett. So what do you make of Jerry Jones timing that announcement for the middle of the Eagles game?
A little bizarre. You know, he has stated publicly many times that any publicity is good publicity. But what's even more bizarre to me, Jim, with the hiring of Mike McCarthy, is that it's pretty clear that he literally was holding on to Jason Garrett until he was sure he had somebody better. I mean, it was like, you know, you're in high school and, you know, you see this other girl and you like her and you kind of want to date her, but you don't want to dump your current girlfriend unless you know that other girl is going to like you. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right.
So that's exactly what Jerry Jones did. He didn't want to dump Garrett until he knew that McCarthy would like him and that he could start dating McCarthy. And as soon as McCarthy was like, okay, I'm in, he was like, all right, see you later, Jason Garrett. So the timing of it, let's put it this way, it's not exactly a classy way to go about it, whether you're me in high school or Jerry Jones trying to get an NFL head coach.
No, that's not classy at all, by the way. So, Ross, where do you come out? Is McCarthy better? How much better? How do you like that fit?
I like starting with the track record that he has of being a Super Bowl championship winning head coach and being a guy with sustained success. What concerns me, Jim, on the flip side is, I don't know how long he was in Green Bay, 13 years, 14 years. He had a top five quarterback the whole time. I mean, he had Brett Favre for a few years when Favre was still playing well. Then he had Aaron Rodgers the whole time. He had a top five quarterback the whole time and went to one Super Bowl. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's impressive or not. I'd say probably not. I'd say you should probably at least get to another Super Bowl in that stretch of having 13 years with a top five quarterback. Plus, it got bad at the end. And now look at him. I mean, the Packers without him are 13-3. Now, in fairness to him, when he was there, Ted Thompson was the GM, never signed anybody. Now, they lose McCarthy. They get a new GM in. They sign Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith, who are out there killing dudes, and a big reason why the Packers are 13-3. So you can go both ways on this. I would say it's pretty hard to kill a hire when the guy starts with being able to say he's a Super Bowl winning head coach.
Talking to Ross Tucker for another moment or so, but to your point, Ross, I wonder if that's not enough considering where he was and who he had. But before I let you go, as a former teammate of Tom Brady's in New England, do you think that that final pass was his final pass as a Patriot? How do you think that plays out?
I do not think it was, but I think it comes entirely down to Bill Belichick. How much does Bill Belichick want Brady back? And how important is the contract to Bill Belichick? Look, he's not sentimental. He wants to move on. All the reports indicate he wasn't happy that he was more or less forced to trade Garoppolo. Does he give Kraft an ultimatum? Does he say, hey, look, Robert, I did this once, but I'm not paying Tom a 2 or 3 year deal we're $30 million a year. We can have our best chance for sustained success moving forward is Jarrett Stidham on a rookie contract and being able to build around him rather than paying Tom, who's not the guy he used to be. I know that everybody's saying it's up to Tom. I really don't think it is. I think it's up to Belichick. If Belichick says he wants Brady back and he's willing to pay him what he wants, I think Brady comes back. But if Brady feels disrespected and doesn't feel like Belichick really wants him back, or they try to lowball him on the contract again, I think Brady's going to say, you know what? I'm sick of it. All the discounts I gave you, and you guys are going to lowball me again, I'm out of here.
I can't help but wonder or think that is pretty much what's going to happen. Hey, Ross, one last thought. What were you thinking as Mike Vrabel went with the back-to-back penalties to eat time off the clock in the fourth quarter?
I was laughing because Vrabel and I were teammates in New England, and Belichick seemed so upset about it, so angry about it, yet that's exactly what Belichick would do if he were in that situation. My initial thought, Jim, was, I don't love that they're punting it here and giving it back to Brady rather than going for it. And then I thought, okay, I like the idea to shorten the game and take the time off the clock, but what if Brady marches for a field goal right here, and then you actually shorted yourself the chance and the time? Ultimately, it worked out, and I was mainly laughing because I know Vrabel and the way he is, and he loved nothing more, I can promise you, Jim, than being able to be in that locker room after the game and knowing that he out-Belichicked Belichick. He was laughing, he was having a beer, and he was having the time of his life.
And he should, because that was funny, and that's exactly what he did. And to your point, Ross, not only would Belichick do that, Belichick has done that. So that if he learned it from anybody, it's from that guy himself. 7 years in the NFL, an NFL analyst now, host of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, co-host of Home and Home, and be sure you follow him at Ross Tucker NFL. Ross, great job. Good to have you back. Always good to have you on the show.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks so much for having me, as always.
Great job, Russ. As always, Ross Tucker. Man, he is everywhere. He is killing it. All right, so your thoughts on what you just heard. I mean, there's so many different ways to go with it, but as it relates to the Patriots, I mentioned last segment, I'm not going to spend a ton of time right now, at least not right now, on the drama and the soap opera as it involves the Patriots. I want to give credit to the Titans. They earned it. They went in there. They played a better game. They were the better team. There was nothing fluky about that. They deserve to advance. That said, I happen to agree with Ross. I don't think it's Tom Brady's decision. And I don't even think it's Bob Kraft's this time. I think it is Bill Belichick. And if Brady is saying, hey, listen, I have left so much money on the table so we can keep this dynasty going, so you can sign other players, you're not getting a hometown discount out of me. Not now. Do you really think that Belichick is going to be sentimental and nostalgic and give him a Kobe Bryant-type deal like the Lakers did? I mean, no chance. You think at 42 he's going to get that deal? I don't see it. And I can also see where Brady says, you know what, it's not worth it. I don't need this. I've done it so many times. I'm going someplace else. So if he does leave, where does he go? Maybe right here in L.A. We know he's a California native. We know he's not going to the Niners. So where would Tom Brady go? Maybe here in L.A. All right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, I want to give you my thoughts on the Cowboys. I'm going to go further than even Ross did there. Man, the fact that Jerry Jones made that announcement during his arch rival's game in the postseason, it's like the most Jerry thing ever. There's no quinky dink in that. He knew what he was doing. And then we'll talk about Mike McCarthy. Not exactly the most inspired hire. Not the worst thing, but not all that inspired either. So all that's coming up. And if you want to hit me up on the phones, do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. We are open for the next hour. Here is your bottom of the hour sports up.
Southern California. This is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is always an Ask the Pros day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. So what you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask me a question right there. I will answer one of them later on. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, really quickly, snap reaction to... What's up, Adam? How are you? I don't know if you know this, but yesterday was National Bird Day. I saw that. I didn't see you yesterday, but I did see that. So a quick snap reaction to Tua declaring for the draft. To me, that's the right move. That's the right move for him. I'm not exactly sure where he is in terms of his hip and recovery, but that decision is the smart decision. Better to get out now, start making money, hopefully get to the second contract a year earlier than if he had gone back to school. I don't see any reason to go back to school at this point. I think that's the right move. That makes sense to me.